All right. Welcome back to another episode of the Embassy Talks podcast. We have been outside touching grass and then catching up on sleep. And yeah, that's what we get. Because I was under the impression it was going to be a slow summer. We'll get into the highlights. Because some stuff happened that we're going to talk about, and then some stuff happened that, as much as I like to talk about, I will not. Unless y'all gonna pay me big monies to do this all the time. But for now, yeah, I need to keep 9-to-5 benefits, so no. Some things will just be pushed aside. But yeah, so got a lot to cover. Quite a bit to cover. Really only talking about like kind of like one main topic, because it's been dominating the news cycle for the past 3 weeks now. Two and a half, three weeks now. But yeah, before we get into all that though, how you been, Jade? How's DreamCon? We went to DreamCon.
Yes, we did. It was fun. We had a good time. Like, got to be outside, see my friends. But no, I'm doing good. Sleepy, doing good. That's always the name of the game. I'm just like, I'm old. I don't like going outside anymore. Who said that we need to be outside? I was like, I've been drained since we got back from DreamCon.
I mean, fairness, you've been outside quite a bit. So like,
all summer.
Yeah.
It's like back-to-back-to-back all summer, been at different cons. I'm tired. I'm so glad that I get to miss the last con of the season. I was like, it sucks I get to miss it, but also I was just like, yes. Okay. but yeah. But no, doing good. Still thinking about streaming sometime. When? I don't know. But I've gotten motivation to, once I get a camera here, who knows? But yeah. And oh, my only church announcement, if anybody's going to be in Virginia, Norfolk, I won't be there anymore. but Mike will be there at Atlantic Con in Norfolk. So yeah, and a whole bunch of dope artists and writers and comic book creators and all kinds of stuff that'll be there. So yeah, I think that's it for me. Oh, and like a selfish, just cute, my dog graduated from her first task in puppy school.
Aww. So
I'm proud of her. She's off leash now. So yeah. but outside of that, how are you?
I think I'm finally back to like regular schedule. A little sleepy still, a little tired. But this is a combination of work life picking up a bit as well. And yeah. But other than that, I'm good. Church announcements for me. So obviously we're streaming right now. Doing another stream sometime during the day tomorrow. Doing another stream Saturday. So both of those streams will be dual stream on Twitch and YouTube. We'll be gaming. And then another YouTube video is coming out sometime tomorrow. Let's see. Outside of that, pending any new Kingdom Hearts trailers, I would just be here. And I'm just going to be enjoying all the memes. I'm laughing to keep from crying, but I'm hoping that I get to laugh a little bit more with recent news. So, but yeah, I'm just, if you see me on Twitter, I guess, I don't know. However you feel about that. Likes are hidden on Twitter, so y'all can't see my likes anyway. But just know if you happen to know me and know my humor, I'm probably enjoying the same things that y'all are. So that's been my time spent. Now that House of Dragon is done for another season.
gotta still catch up.
Okay.
But I'd be watching it. I'd be like, oh, why didn't nobody warn me? Because that first episode of season two, oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yes.
But yeah. So now, for funsies, no, for no apparent reason, I'm just rewatching Scandal now. because why not? It feels relevant. But outside that, I don't have any church announcements. So without further ado, let's get right into the main topic, which will probably be kind of a longer topic. I just put highlights because I feel like there's like a lot to say for each bullet, honestly, or at least a substantial amount. So the 2024 U.S. presidential elections. I thought I would avoid talking about this for a couple more weeks. No, we got punished for taking a break. Because as soon as we were like, yeah, we can like go on low power a bit, get ready for DreamCon, enjoy the sun, and then everything wanted to pick up. All right. So since we last left off, since we last did a podcast, here's what happened. Chronologically, start off, Biden dropped out from the top of the ticket. A lot of people were urging him to drop out already after his debate performance on June 27th. I fell asleep in the middle of it, so I mean, like, it wasn't great. And polls kept going down and didn't look good. He was losing. Not only was he losing swing states, like your blue wall in the Midwest, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, he was also states that were somewhat reliably blue, at least in recent history, were also slipping away. And it was also looking like Georgia was like, well, I guess that was a one-time thing. And everything else kept slipping away. Arizona looked bad. Nevada was leaning towards toss up, so it wasn't looking good. So while a lot of people were urging him to drop out, at first he was like, I ain't going. Y'all can't make me go. I'ma stay. It'll take an act of God. Then he got COVID. So I think with that and that combined with Speaker Emeritus Nancy Pelosi apparently telling him in the way that she usually wills and deals, but telling him in her own way, we can do this the easy way or the hard way. I guess that was God's sign. That plus the COVID was God's sign for him to be like, all right, fine. So he dropped out of the topic ticket. Within about 20-ish minutes, he then endorsed Madam Vice President Kamala Harris to be the Democrat nominee. To a point, no, she wasn't like, she didn't ascend to the throne, but he just nominated her as his pick for the Democratic nominee. And like within hours, everybody else who would have been thought to be a contender was like, yep, we'll get behind her. Not only that, there was a Zoom call with the Women with Black Women organization where 44,000 Black women, or well, 44,000 people, I won't say they were all Black women because I wasn't on that particular call, but 44,000 people got on that Zoom call, raised it was like either over $1 million or about $2 million that night, like within a 18-hour range, very, and all grassroots fundraising, so which broke a record. And so between that started a trend of all these other Zoom calls. Then it was like Black men for Kamala, and then it was like white women for Kamala and or Karens for Kamala, whichever one. Because I think they referred to themselves as both, and I was like, that's funny. It was, that one was about 100,000 people on the webinar call. Apparently they raised like 8 million. Then it was white dudes for Kamala, or white dudes for Harris, I think was the title, with the dude himself. Damn, I can't remember his name right now. But yeah, lots of fundraising. That was just in the first week, week and a half of that happening. So a flurry of grassroots fundraising. More people were getting behind Kamala. Delegates were already pledging. They did the delegate count through a virtual roll call to go ahead and, you know, speed up the process so that name can be go ahead and change on the ballot in time. So it was all within the rolls. This was just a very unprecedented moment. Okay. Before we get to the beef steaks part, because that's a whole nother saga. Thoughts on the initial dropout and endorsement and the grassroots fundraising? It was a lot of fundraising. It was a lot of money. I ain't never seen that amount of money rolling in 1 week for a campaign. She really did break records, right, with that fundraising. So that, I was just like, good for you. Look at you breaking records.
Right? Not Effie White. I just cracking up that the fact that Nancy had to have a come to Jesus meeting with Joe and was like, hey, look, Joey, you need to let go. It's over. I was like, that's all. That's in my head. That's what she said. It's over. Because he was hanging on by not even a thread anymore. And it was just like, I think at that point, everybody kind of came to terms with the fact that we were just going to have, there was going to be no fight and we would just have Trump as president again. And it was just like, okay.
Yeah.
I was like, it wasn't even like a, hey, get out there and vote. And it was like,
it was just like,
we're going to lose.
Yeah.
So, if you lean left, you're going to lose. But now it's like, oh, snap. We thank you. Because at first they had reports when they said he was going to drop out. And I was like, cool. And I was going to send you this article, but then they're not a valid source. Mm-hmm. And that's the only reason why I didn't send it. Because they were saying that he was going to drop out.
Oh, and I was like, and I think I know what type of source you're talking about, because I saw the same thing like the day before, because I think me and Mr. Yeah. Embassy were talking about it, and like he showed me that. I was like,
like it's from a paper, yeah, but it's more like a blog site.
Yeah, and
you know how valid that can be,
right?
So I was just like, I'm not going to share this. I don't feel this is real, especially because they added in a tidbit that he wasn't going to endorse Kamala.
Right.
So I was just like, this isn't real. Lo and behold, it was real, except for the second part. So I was like,
yeah.
Oh. But yeah, so I was like very happy that he finally stepped away, because Grandpa was tired.
He was.
Okay.
But apparently,
he was tired.
He was. Apparently, though, he was also negotiating again, unprecedented, but kind of record-breaking in his own right, deal to get some hostages released from Russia while he was, like, being obstinate and saying, I ain't going. But also battling COVID, but also was like, fine, I'll drop out, but also like sealing the deal to get some hostages back. So he got a total, within that span, he got a total of 16 hostages released from Russia detainment specifically. Four of whom, three of whom were American citizens, and the fourth one was like a national or permanent resident, I believe. But yeah. So that happened as well. I forgot to add that part. But yeah, so he was like working.
He's like, I'm doing my job.
But yeah, so I was kind of afraid. I mean, I guess it would have been okay, but I was kind of afraid he just wasn't going to endorse anybody, because his note initially didn't say an endorsement. So I was like, oh, open convention, like 1968. And now I got to read up on what happened in 1968. Why you do this? And then within 20 minutes, he was like, no, Kamala. Yeah, you got this. And I was like, oh, okay. So, and then I was like, I still didn't feel confident, but that's my, no pun intended, jadedness. I didn't feel confident in that moment of like, man, but y'all really gonna support her? I was like, oh, the party really supported her. Although I will say it was like hilarious watching within a couple of days of all that happening. And Chuck Schumer, Majority Senate Leader Chuck Schumer, and I think House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries had come out and get a conference, and Chuck Schumer is just like literally bouncing and like bouncing around and bobbing around and all giddy. You know, I was like, when did you? Oh, I never seen him with that much energy. So anywho, anything else on the initial dropout and endorsement?
Nothing else on that initial endorsement. Just thank you, Joey, for doing it. Yes. You know good and well we would have been in disarray.
Exactly, Spoon. We had the exact same thought trajectory, but yeah. All right. So moving on to the Veep Stakes, which was quite fun to watch for me myself, because it's like VP. I was always of the thought that VP picks were a strategic pick to try to get somebody, like try to get some voters that you probably wouldn't have gotten yourself. That's it. That's all. And they were like, they're just shadowing your job in case they're young enough to want to run for president one day. That's it. That's all. So in that sense, it didn't matter like that. However, this year it did. Like, it was very apparent that VP picks do matter when they're bad for you. Yes. We'll get to the other side of that in a minute, because good lord, like I said, news cycle just wouldn't quit, and neither did JD Vance with this weirdness. So yeah, and that's why I think there was a vested interest just all around of like, oh, so who Kamala gonna pick for her VP? Cause like, you can't mess this up. We saw an example of fucking it up this month. So Veep Stakes was actually like quite fun to watch for me personally. So it was like an open close. I would say open close vetting process, in the sense of like, names were released, and like, for all of its reporting, the news media was pretty accurate, except for Gretchen Whitmer. They kept trying to prop up Gretchen, and she said the first day, I'm not doing it. I will support. I'm supporting, yes, but don't put me on the list for VP because I want to stay in Michigan, which is like respectful. But yeah, she wanted to stay, you know, do her time as governor of Michigan. So I was like, well, I don't know why y'all keep wishing, leave Gretchen alone. And all the other,
I don't want to.
Yeah. And then the other people, not regular pundits or news media, but other people online were like, Michelle. I was like, y'all leave Michelle alone, please.
No. Exactly. Leave her alone. She did her time.
She did her time. Like, no, y'all. Stop. But anyway, so with Kamala being a woman and a woman of color, and that woman of color being half black and half Southeast Asian / Indian, it was like, you probably gotta get a white man, right? You gotta get a white man. It makes sense, because like, yeah. But of the people who were like finalists, it almost like turned into bachelor memes, which again, hilarious. Well, bachelor egg in this case, but again, hilarious. But of the like, you know, finalist selectees, I was like, I mean, nobody was perfect. Obviously, I had my favorite pick. I knew that pick wasn't gonna happen, but yeah. You weren't really begging for talent with it. It was a very like hearty selection. She would have been good with, I think, majority of them. So it came down to the final three, which was Senator Mark Kelly of Arizona, Governor Josh Shapiro of Pennsylvania, and Tim Walz of Minnesota. Tim Walz was actually the dark horse, because he wasn't even considered at first. And then he did his own kind of like, let's see if we can put our name out there, let's just like talk to some people. Then he got on some podcasts, and then he got on some the mainstream news. He was on there pretty regularly. But the main reason that, and I'll get to the dissensions and like between like the whole Shapiro, the Shapiro possibility and why she also didn't go with Mark Kelly. But main thing that stuck out with Tim Walz was that he memeified the Republican ticket in a way that caught fire. And it wasn't the first time that he did it, actually. He actually had said it before in February, I think, earlier in the year. But, I mean, it's not like other people haven't said it, but him saying it on mainstream media in a time when Veep stakes were happening, it just caught like a wildfire. It was a lightning in a bottle moment. So with the memification of the Republican ticket and him calling them weird, and it was kind of like that feeling of like, somebody gets it finally. And he said it in a way of like not alienating quote unquote regular people who may vote for the Republican ticket, but he was saying like, no, it's not, I mean, you can agree or disagree, but as a politician, it was a smart move because he didn't alienate people in the sense like Hillary did with the Basket of Deplorables, where she outright said some of a good bit of the voters, like 40 something, no, she didn't give a percent, but a good bit of the voters were like the Basket of Deplorables. So he didn't do that. What he did was say, no, the people that's representing you guys are weird because they have weird ideas and these weird policies. And why do y'all care so much about what's happening in people's bedrooms and with people's bodies? Which, that's why I would say it was politically smart. And like I said, you can agree or disagree with like, whether it's like everybody or like the voted representatives or Republican ticket. So, but the memification of weird, and then the other thing that made him stand out from Shapiro and Mark Kelly was that while Mark Kelly would have been Mark Kelly would have been a pick that would have kind of solidified or strengthened Kamala's or the perception of Kamala on the border, which I to a lot of people is a big issue. But I think with Mark Kelly, it was like a question of like, well, would he kind of disagree, not just with border stuff, but would he disagree on policy, like on the Sunday news shows, for example, if like they interview him as opposed to having a press conference with Harris if she was president? And also, did Mark Kelly have other ambitions, which I don't think so, but I don't know. But yeah. And then with Josh Shapiro, there was an online campaign because people who were against the genocide in Gaza thought that Shapiro would be way too soft on Israel. But not only that, someone said it perfectly on Twitter. And I was like, oh yeah, that's what it was for me. Like, I mean, politicians go to politics. So like, I wasn't expecting Shapiro to like be staunchly for or against Israel. I wasn't expecting him to be on the extreme side of either. But it was more so like, would the attention be taken away from Kamala because Shapiro is like super charismatic, also young, also a man? Would that have taken away from her attention wise? Like, would the coverage have then been Shapiro should have been a presidential pick? He looks so much more presidential. Like, it would just be a whole comparison. And also, would Shapiro be angling for a presidential slot in 4 years instead of maybe 8 years? So, and also, apparently, Shapiro didn't do that well in the final interview. Yeah. But in Wallace's interview, he was very much like, hey, I'm here for you. I'm just here to support you. Whatever you need, I got you. And apparently they vibed pretty damn well. So that is why we are now, we have the ticket of on the fun auntie and fun dad, on the Democratic side. So, let's see. I'm trying to make,
and you know, the black people rock with him when we added a T to his name.
Yes, we added the T. And black, I feel like black people were kind of rocking with him, like, when more stuff about him came out online and, like, saw, like, how memeable he was and how he was very much, like he just gave off fun dad. And we're like this fella.
Yeah.
And his
record was like your old high school teacher, because he was.
Yeah. Yeah. And old high school football coach. It was like, oh, you're the fun football coach teacher. So yeah, very much that. And his record as governor is actually like quite impressive. Because he frames it as like common sense policies, even though like to pundits and policy wonks, they look progressive, they would be deemed progressive. But his time as governor, he codified Roe v. Wade for the state. He actually had enough funding to not only give free lunches to everybody in public schools, to all the kids in public schools, but to also stock the bathrooms in schools with feminine hygiene supplies. Let's see. I'm trying to think of what else policy-wise that stood out. I was just like, oh, be really with it. Minnesota's like ranked number five for businesses. Very pro-union. So yeah, and that's not counting like the time he did public service with the National Guard and as a teacher and all of that. Also did common sense gun laws, red flag laws as governor for Minnesota. So all of that. So yeah, resume looked good. Like I said, just his interview process, both like informal on the news cycles, and the actual interview went well. So yeah. But yeah, it was very much of like, I thought it was interesting that a lot of people were like, man, she gonna pick Shapiro. It's gonna be like establishment ticket once again. And then like when the news came out, she picked Wallace. I was like, oh, did she listen to the internet? Because that don't ever happen. the times people were like, oh, Democrats are in array for once in a while. That's just, huh. Oh, and he got, like, endorsements from, like, all sides of Democrats, from Joe Manchin to AOC. So that should say enough about him. But yeah, any other thoughts you had on the Veep Stakes before we get to the other side of the ticket?
Yeah, because the other side is... No, like I said, because I wasn't paying, I'm not even going to lie, I wasn't paying too much attention during the whole process of who they were going to pick for VP, because I was just like, I'll learn about whoever she picks. And one, yes, he's very memeable. So that relates to a whole slew of people, because the younger generation that gets to vote is like, he's memeable. That'll literally win them over for just randomly for no reason at all. But no, like we said, he feels like the fun dad, like he's your best friend's dad, and he's just goofy, and it's just like, oh, Mr. Walls, like that's what he feels like for America now. It's like, okay, like that's just Walls. Mr. Walls, like not even Vice President Walls, that's Mr. Walls.
That's Coach Walls right there.
Yeah, but yeah, but yeah. So I think she did a pretty good pick. He can help win those states that, especially like those Midwestern states, that lean more, that although they are, they can lean more Democratic, you wouldn't know how you would do on a ticket with a Black woman leading it. So I think it's like a good choice, safe choice, a good choice. So yeah, I think she did good.
Yeah.
And no complaints on him yet. So nothing like, no bad skeletons have come out the closet yet.
No,
they won't.
The other side tried it and it was like, what are you doing? At least so far.
Tried attacking.
Yeah,
they tried attacking his military record,
mm-hmm.
which that never goes well, especially over for other veterans. That doesn't go well.
Especially for a veteran that's been in there for 24 years?
Yeah.
You gonna attack a 24-year record?
And you know the old head's gonna be like, oh, no. So.
I didn't even do military. I didn't even do military. I was like, there. But yeah. So while this new ticket for the Democrats seems to be a ticket, as they say, of joy, the happy warrior ticket. So we got the other ticket, which is not happy. It's not happy. It's just not happy. All right. On the other side, Trump is still the standard bearer of the Republican Party. So I don't think he's dropping out anytime soon. And with this switch that happened with Biden dropping out, it's kind of unprecedented. Not that it's never happened before. It's just been a while since this happened. So there was some flailing on the other side with new attempts at messaging, which include saying that Kamala's not Black, or accusing her of, what was it, turning Black, which sparked a...
you watched that?
I did. With the Black journalists? Yeah.
Yes, I watched it.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I put my earphones on. I was like, now let's see how this goes. And within 5 minutes, my mouth was open. And I was like, I was ashamed of myself. I was like, no, girl, why are you shocked by this? We should have known this was going to happen. But yeah. Yeah, I saw that.
Couldn't answer not one question straight. I feel like I came here in good spirits. And I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, one thing you shouldn't mess with is Black women. Just saying, especially Black women with a platform.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I don't know who on his team thought that was a good idea. But they need to be fired.
Yeah. It was one of those, was like, well, I saw what you were trying to do. But I saw what the team was trying to do. Let me rephrase. I saw what the team was trying to do. But, ooh, that failed. Because even the... Yeah, apparently, she's not even a member of the National Association for Black Journalists. That's a whole nother... But Harris Faulkner from Fox News, who was on the far... not like ideologically, but who was sitting on the far right side of the stage, who lent him some softball questions that was like, you should answer this. And even she was just like, come on. I mean, like, obviously she made up for it later in the Fox News reporting, but yeah, in that moment she was very much like, I thought we coordinated on how you're gonna answer these.
They did not coordinate. They needed to get like M and go on empowermusemerch.com where you can coordinate your cups, your blankets, your cups, your pillows, your shirts. You can coordinate all kinds of different things on empowermusemerch.com where you can look stylish and great and support a Black woman.
But flailing with the new messaging to try to attack Kamala. And by the way, it's not like, I mean, she's not a perfect candidate and she does have like flaws. Like it was like, y'all can find something policy wise to like, you know, batter on, but no, just going straight to, she turned Black. She was, she she's pretending to be black. She's a chameleon. I was just like, oh, okay. Well, cool. Oh, yeah, and she's dumb. She's dumb. Even though she a whole lawyer and was a district attorney. A district attorney, attorney general. Now, apparently you ain't gotta be that smart to be a senator. But she was an effective senator. I'll give her that. Her experience before says that you needed to be able to think. Because as a whole lawyer, to prosecute those big cases out in California. Let's see. But yeah, messaging is flailing even today with his more than an hour press conference. News channel I was watching finally cut it off after an hour because they were like, all right, enough. So yeah, messaging isn't like really intact. And there is this whole thing where he kept trying to run from debating Kamala, saying he was going to pull out of the September 10th debate, with her on ABC News because it was supposed to be with Biden. And it's not fair that they switch candidates on him, all that stuff. So basically when the debate was set for September 10th, it was going to be whoever was at the top of the Republican ticket and whoever was at the top of the Democratic ticket. It wasn't the names Trump and Biden. It was just assumed those would be the people who was at the top of the ticket. But the actual statement is like, whoever's at the top of the ticket is going to debate, yada, yada. These are the terms. So today, finally, it seemed like it's set in stone that they are, in fact, going to debate on September 10th, and they're going to have a total of 3 debates, actually. I guess all in the month of September, it's going to be busy season for debates. For now, we'll see. But yeah, oh yeah, he also did a stream with Aiden Ross, where he said, one of the things he said, I didn't watch it, I just saw the clips. I was like, huh, yeah, that tracks. And as a reminder, Aiden Ross is a kick streamer. But is very much
says it all.
But now one of the clips that I did see, apparently Trump said that he was doing the National Association of Black Journalists a favor by showing up there.
They can't see you.
Oh,
just my head.
No, they can't see you at all. This is this box I'm in.
What up, Mike?
Oh, they said hey.
But he said he did the National Association of Black Journalists a favor by showing up to, you know, do a panel with them. So that's what he said when he was fun timing it with Aiden Ross. But yeah, anything on Trump's reaction and still posting temper tantrums on Truth Social. No, I'm not on there, but thankfully somebody was brave enough to go on there and provide screenshots and send it over to Twitter.
Right.
But yeah, so anything on that before we get into his weird ass running mate?
His weird ass VP.
Yes.
Yeah. His reaction was hilarious. It's just the personal attacks on her and him not wanting to debate, being like, I was like, why are you afraid to debate this now? When it was Biden, you were fine. And now it's like, not debating her. I do love the fact that she was basically said, if you can say it behind my back, you say it to my face.
Yeah, I love that.
And I was like,
oh, you are so Gen X. I love it.
So I was like, okay, she called you out. Like, go ahead. Everything you've been saying, just go ahead and say it to me. So it's like, yes. Love that for her. but his reaction was pretty much in line with what you would think it would be for him. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty much in line with it. But yeah, I just want to get to his pick because good lordy.
All right. So, so his pick is JD Vance, who, for the record, has changed his name. Yeah, I mean, okay, if you want to change your name, you can change your name, fine. But he's changed his name 3 times now. Why? Not sure. So a little bit of background on Vance. He wrote a book called Hillbilly Elegy, talking about growing up in Appalachia's with a mom who was addicted to drugs, and his family being kind of dirt poor. It gave off typical bootstrap story of like worked hard, went to Yale, yada yada. But at the same time, so in the book, apparently he was trying to explain why people like the people in his family probably would have benefited from like more so supporting or having a Democratic lawmakers or Democratic presidents, but ended up turning and voting red instead, ended up voting for Trump. So while he was trying to explain that, he also was like denigrating like where he allegedly came from and like some of his family. So it was like, it was very weird because usually people, when people do those types of stories, they either go the bootstrap route of like, I pulled myself out of this, I know why these people are feeling pain, and XYZ policies are not working, they're not reaching them. Or, well, no, that's what they usually go. Yeah, that's how it usually goes. It's not a weird integration of like, and also these people are stupid. Like it usually doesn't go that route. But yeah, so that happened. And also they made it into a Netflix movie apparently. So you can find the movie on Netflix if you're curious. I don't know if it's still actually Netflix could make some money if they still have it on there. I think it's still on there. I haven't checked. I don't think I'm gonna watch it unless I just want to drink it.
Like curiosity killed the cat, and I'd be curious. I will always take one for the team because for some reason I am that person who'd be like, "Yep."
But yeah. So is it on Netflix still, or?
What was it called?
It might be the same as the book, Hillbilly Elegy.
Let's see. Is it on Netflix? Is it gonna let me? Let's see. It's on Netflix.
All right, cool. So,
ooh, 2 hours. I don't know. Hold up. It's 1 hour and 57 minutes. I don't know about that.
You don't want 2 hours of Appalachia, the misrepresentation, Appalachia, but not Appalachia because it's really Western Ohio, but you don't want 2 hours of it?
Whew, that's a long time. I might have to watch that in sections.
So, he wrote a whole book. It obviously it's on Netflix. It's a movie on Netflix. If you want to watch it, but as I was saying, he was claiming he's from the Appalachia, and people from the Appalachia are like, "No, you're not. You are from Ohio." And not the Ohio that's Appalachia. You are Ohio. No. So that happened. And from there, I should have been like, this might be a bad choice. But I think everybody was feeling so deflated in the moment that we weren't really picking up what was being put down. And then really watch his speech at the Republican National Convention. I'm not gonna lie, like, I was trying to kind of sort of watch to see what messaging they were gonna be putting out, and honestly, it was kind of a snooze fest just throughout. The only thing that caught my attention was the Kotex ears. I don't want to get into that part, but yeah. So yeah, I didn't really like pay attention to him until the childless cat lady comment came out. While he was in fact talking about lawmakers at the time, like Madam Vice President, who has bonus children, so she's not childless technically. He's talking about Vice President. He's talking about people like AOC, calling them childless cat ladies, and saying that they're pushing policies because they're miserable, and they're anti-family and all that. So, and then what the original comment was like in 2021, 2022, somebody from Fox, or it was Megyn Kelly, somebody, circled back in an interview with him recently, and basically were like, so about that childless cat lady thing, do you want to explain that? And so instead of being like, oh, I misspoke, oh, like, no, like, that was a little off the cuff. Nope, he doubled down. He was like, well, I didn't mean to insult the cats. And was trying to make fun of him and be like, but yeah, it's a problem with, you know, these women who, you know, don't have kids. They want to, like, push their way of life onto, like, people who are pro-family and all that. He also, in other statements, has called for the debathification of the country. And if y'all don't know what that means, basically, Old Testament. Bible, Old Testament, wants to turn it back to that type of time. Thinking, basically saying the United States is Babylon. Even though it's kind of confusing, because I was like, he married, his wife is Indian, and I think she's practicing Hindu. And I thought he converted to Hindu for her, but he converted to Catholicism. So I'm like, I'm even confused on that part, but yeah. So his comments seem very much like Christian nationalists. But yeah, he's very much going at childless people, like, a lot more than usual. Which is already turning people off, because, like, with Roe v. Wade overturned, people are kind of like, what are you calling for? He's actually more extreme than Trump, if you can believe it, in the sense of outwardly, like, calling for a national abortion ban, saying that people who have kids should get more votes than people who don't have kids. They should get votes based on how many kids they have, and people who don't have kids don't have a physical stake in this country. So it's just, his focus is just so weird. Oh, like, what is your issue with people who don't have kids? I mean, he says what his issue is, but it's like, what, why, and
why?
So he pulled back slightly. In the sense of, like, well, I mean, if you're infertile, that's not your fault. And that's basically his line of, like, well, I'm not talking about the people who can't have kids. I'm talking about the people who just don't have kids. Which is like, but here's the thing. Unless somebody's carrying a card saying I'm infertile, you don't know why they don't have kids. They might have had kids, and the kids might have died, because that still happens. So outside of that, and just like other weird comments of, like, clearly he has not been around, it's given off he doesn't talk to people on a daily basis. It's like, how do you make conversation? So But a lot of people have like accused him of being like funded by Peter Thiel, who is a very pro-Russia venture capitalist, and also essentially cosplaying as a Midwesterner, as like a, you know, down home is Midwesterner. Even though he's from Ohio, but like he's from Ohio, went to Yale, then did a whole stint in Silicon Valley. So definitely not like Coach Wallace, who like born in Nebraska and then went to Minnesota and stayed in Minnesota his whole life. So that's what people mean by like him cosplaying as a down home Midwesterner who like feels the pain of middle America, because it's like, you, I mean, good for you for getting out and going to Yale, going to Ivy League and like making money in San Francisco, but you left is the point. And you only came back to like benefit yourself when you wanted to get into politics. So, all right. Not only is he weird in his messaging, which we are, which is, there's a laundry list, but his strategy as well, especially like this week. So when the vice president rolled out her running mate, Tim Walz, and they're doing this blitz campaign in the swing states this week. So Vance's strategy is to basically follow them in each stop, and not do a rally, not do a full rally like they're doing. They're not doing competing rallies. What he's doing, he's shadowing each stop that they're doing, and as they're doing the stop, as they're doing their campaign stop, their rallies, he's doing a separate like media press where he's just talking to the press, and just like basically being the attack. He's doing the VP thing of being the attack dog, but the way he's doing it is just weird. Because why? It looks like he's stalking at this point. What, like, there's a whole clip of him just like trying to go towards the plane, Air Force Two. And talking to reporters and being like, oh, I'm just checking out my future plane. So the dude is weird. I don't like him. But yeah, your thoughts.
I agree with Spoon that he got the training from Temu. yes, I feel like the whole VP came from Temu. It's like, oh God, Lord. Why? Yeah, so one, definitely not watching that movie. About 80% sure I'm not watching it. There's a 20% chance that I'll watch it. I got to be bored enough.
I would need to be bored and have alcohol.
It's one of those moments where I'm like, I'm bored and it's legal here, so I can smoke a little bit and then watch it and see how that goes. So I was like, yeah. But yeah. Vance is very weird. That's just what it comes down to. He's weird. That is a weird person. I don't even know what like much else to say about him. Just,
yeah.
Silence says a lot. Like, it's one of those black moments where you'd be like, I got something to say.
Yeah. So yeah. I was going to say, very much looking forward to his debate with Coach Walzo.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be entertaining as I don't know what.
Yes.
That's just going to be pure entertainment. Because you can go to college and still not be bright. Mm-hmm. You can be books. Like, that is, two things can be true. So that being said, I can't wait for those debates to see what happens and what is said.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I hope Walz like throws him over the rails for the military comments.
Oh yeah. just nailed to the wall for that one.
Metaphorically, obviously, but yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Anything else of the election highlights?
The electric season, no, it didn't just start, but like it officially just started now because we got our actual pick now and then running mates and all that. I'm already tired of it. It just started. I'm already tired. It's just going to be shenanigans. But I added something for Just Don't Care that I remembered that happened. And I was just like, yeah, election season is always just shenanigans. Just
is. Oh, Lord. I don't even know which part of him say, like, what is that? Like, I see the name. I'm like, he said a lot. So I don't know which. Which segment you're talking about.
Right?
Yeah.
Correct. It's been 84 years.
Yeah, I told Jay before we went live, I was like, yeah, I'm watching Scandal again to compare notes. This is why I'm watching Scandal, rewatching Scandal, because, like, I just want to compare now.
Look, because the first time is when I watched Scandal for it, because I like watched it after it came off the TV and everything.
Yeah.
So the first time I watched it and I was just like, this Donald Trump. I was like, oh my God, that's a country Donald Trump. Oh my God. Life entertainment and life imitating art. I was like, oh. I was like, who? So yeah, it's very much relevant.
All right, moving right along to Creator Hub. Bear with me, y'all. My stream deck is not working, so I'm doing this manually. But Creator Hub news. I only did like main highlights because. And I did go through at least the newsletters that Zach Bussey publishes. I didn't really see that much. So doing the main highlights that happened in the past few weeks. So for Twitch, real quick, I will say, yes, I did see all the tea, drama, fallout, whatever you want to call it, from the certain guild. And I don't want to get into it because I didn't do all my research. But yeah, listen to marginalized peoples is what I would say. especially those who are a little more melanated, because we usually is a fire if enough of us are saying something. But yeah. I'm not even part of the guild, the main guild that happened with. So that's why I was like, interesting. Anywho, Twitch news. Wall Street Journal article put the limelight on Amazon's frustrations with Twitch's declining finances, which we'll get into in the creator industry news from a broader perspective. The company is seeing declining support from key viewers, flat or contextually to 2019 targets, declining ad revenue, and lower/declining growth overall. The article also goes on to say that staff are critical of CEO Dane Clancy's endless world travels, no paywall. Wait, I think that was not meant to be there, or I just copied extra, but yeah. Critical of CEO Dane Clancy's endless world travels. He do be traveling a lot. But like I said, there's a broader context to that, which we'll get into with the general creator industry news. There's a new 20% discount for 5+ gifted subs experience, which shares a discount with creators. Historically, Twitch promotions outside creator control resulted in the discount coming from Twitch's cut. Twitch was not upfront with creators about this. Twitch is now testing Venmo as a payment option for subscriptions in the USA. This week, DJ program blog, opt-in, music catalog, FAQ, and legal terms and conditions were all released. The category launches with a week's promotion today. Twitch's mobile app update. I don't think I updated my app, so I know what everybody was talking about, though. But the mobile app update, which is an which was framed as an uninspired copy of TikTok, has been generally released to everyone. Community sentiment is not positive. Thoughts of on any of this, and or have you like used the mobile app since this update?
Yes, I have. The app I've used, because as soon as in a group chat when they was like, hey, did y'all see the new update? And I'm like, no, what are you talking about? It's ugly. I don't like it. It threw me off trying to watch somebody, and I was just like, yeah, I don't like it. It's confusing. They could have left that alone. It's one of those moments to be like, why Twitch? Why?
Some defenders of it said that it actually does help discoverability. Now, I haven't been on Twitch until today, I think since the broader update, so I don't know, but apparently it's supposed to help with discoverability and like in that sense have an algorithmic push to viewers so that they can see, I guess, you know, it kind of like a curated for you page. I don't know, something to that effect. That's what defenders were saying. But like I said, I haven't even updated my app, so. Because I'm in a dungeon now, so I can't really be on Twitch like that during the day.
See, why you say that it's like a For You page? And the first thing that got suggested to me was... They playing in my face. They playing in my face. I didn't even know that there was a Twitch channel for that.
Yeah, they reinstated it.
They playing. No. Uh-uh. Yeah, so we could do without that. Thank you, Twitch.
So it's definitely a no from at least one half of the host of the Embassy Talks. But yeah, anything else before we move on to creator industry, general creator industry?
Good on them for sharing a part of that discount that they give, because like you said, normally they don't. It's one of those like Twitch pockets all the money. Well, it's like, yes, you get a savings on the user end and Twitch pockets all the money, but you don't get to see that extra bit. Whereas with this, it's like, oh, okay. You actually get to see a little bit of something. Like, it might not be much, but to some streamers it, those little things add up.
Yeah.
Also, what was it? With the DJ program, a lot of people were opting in on it thinking that, cause I was reading, Zach Bussey.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's actually Bussey. He was like, yeah, it's the unfortunate. It's the unfortunate way to pronounce it.
It's Bussey. So Zach Bussey's thing, because I saw when he first posted it about the program, how people were asking him how to get out of it because they signed up and not realizing that once you sign up for that DJ program, like, yes, you can play music. That's like your way around it, but they get rid of their VODs. They get rid of different things. It was like a list of different things that they get rid of. So it's just like, ooh, that kind of kills your channel. And this, yeah, that just kills your channel. And they didn't know that signing up for it. They just saw it because Twitch sent out a blast and like, hey, you can sign up for this, and didn't really explain until after the fact. So it's one of those do better Twitch, because why would you do that?
Yeah.
But yeah. Let's see. Good on them for testing out Venmo and stuff. That means the more they the more that different companies accept different forms of payment outside a card, because there are people who just strictly have like a Cash App or Venmo.
Yeah.
So that's all they have. So that's a cool little feature just for letting other people have different choices to use. It's like, it's not like a hitter. It's not a make it or break it thing, but it's just kind of like, oh, okay, cool. Just another little way. And yes, the mobile app, I'm not feeling. It's going to be one of those, you have to get used to it until they decide to change it again.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Fair enough. All right, moving on to creator industry news. And speaking of Zach Bussey, he actually did a survey, kind of a wider scale survey, and he did a comparison from last year's metrics to this year's, and the results were, generally speaking, there's more negative sentiment about the streaming space than last year. 2023 had an average feeling of 4.26 out of 7, while 2024's average currently is 4.1 out of 7. There are more hyper-positive people about the space this year than last, but they're balanced out with the more hyper-negative. Streaming space may have actually found a bottom in sentiment. And with another report, not done by Zach Bussey, done by Stream Hatchet. Stream Hatchet released its quarter 2 2024 streaming industry report, suggesting that Twitch lost 10% of its market share last year. YouTube is at a plus 6%. And even Kick, and I have no idea how to pronounce it. It's Chizik? I don't know what that is. But even Kick and Chizik are growing in share as well. Yeah, another finding in the Stream Hatchet report says that top creators are losing viewership dominance, meaning that viewers are opting to watch smaller creators, which yay for me, yay for people like us, but it also very interesting. But also, I feel like people might be tired, like kind of tired out of the, I don't even know, no, Ninja's still streaming, but people might be like kind of tired of the hyper super, because that's what top streamers seem tend to be to me. They tend to present us kind of like these hyper, either hyper edited or just hyper energy. It's like they might be a little tired of like always on hyper type of energy, because that's what the top creators tend to bring generally.
Yeah.
Even Hassan Pike, his channel, like he's not like hyper energy per se, but it is very like fast moving, free flowing, like definitely not chill vibes. Not a chill political podcast, yeah, at all. Very intense. So yeah. So might be a sign of the times. And just people kind of just like wanting us, like having that desire to slow down a little bit and touch grass a bit more and like chill with people who are alive and just chill, would be my guess, but who knows? I don't know. But yeah, so those are the reports that have come out about the streaming space. So very interesting. Looks like it looks like, because YouTube is YouTube, I don't know about Kick though. Kick might, I mean, it also might be a sign of the times of like people just getting a little more extremists and not wanting to feel censored, is what I would guess. And younger people just want to be edgy. That's going to be my educated guess. YouTube's growth, I feel like, is just because it is very much an all-in-one platform. You can do lives, but you can also do edited videos. You can do shorts. You can now stream vertical or horizontal. So it's kind of like a choose your own adventure, and the people like what they like and they'll flock to what they like, because the algorithm will find them at some point, as long as you know how to package your videos and tag appropriately, I would say. Yeah. So I think that's why YouTube is not feeling any like any pains, and is still growing, whether or not it's pretty well or not, because 6% I feel like is low, but it might not be. But Yeah, it just is. It kind of has a space for everyone. As long as you're not weird. That's my catch-all word. But as long as you're not weird and or hateful, super hateful, super hateful, because it will hate. They will let hateful shit fly. Unless you let some slurs fly, and then that's when they're like, all right, we got cookie. But yeah, so your thoughts though on the state of the streaming space?
Yeah, I like that, the fact that people are now going back to what it was, not completely back to what it was, but kind of seeing that trend of watching more smaller streamers like they did during the pandemic, because you were watching a lot of your friends or you're watching new up and coming people. So it's good to see a trend of that versus watching, like you said, like those people who are just on so much, like presence wise, more chill streamers. Cause I know like me, I can't watch streamers like that. More power to the people who can, I cannot,
because
we have that much high energy. I can't keep up. It just messes with me. Like the Kai Sinats of the world of just, they do too much for me. It's not shitting on like anything that they're doing. It's just like, for me, that's too much. There are smaller streamers that I know that are like that, that I can't watch and I would love to support, but I'm like, too much for me.
Yeah.
So it's just like, I like that they're going to see a trend of people watching more smaller streamers, and then hopefully give limelight to those streamers that normally wouldn't. So like, that's pretty good. Let's see. It's not surprising that Twitch lost market shares. It's like, once again, it boils down to, this is not the pandemic anymore. They're not making, people aren't watching the same, they don't have the same watch patterns and spending patterns that they did during the pandemic. You have these new platforms that are coming up, and of course they're going to be on the rise a little bit just because it is a new platform. People are going to spend their time trying to grow on those and bring their audience over to them. So it does make sense that it would go up more because they're going to have more money flowing into it versus Twitch, where it was at, it's become more stagnant where it's at. So it makes sense where stocks, things like that, are going to go down more because people aren't investing into it as much anymore. But yeah, that's how I feel on that.
Cool. All right, moving right along. Where is it at? Okay. So you said you had a Just Don't Care with Jesse Waiters. Yeah.
Jesse Waiters.
Yeah, him.
That's a, yeah.
Which segment? What day? What did he say?
Quote. And this is a direct quote from him. I heard scientists say the other day that when a man votes for a woman, he actually transitions to a woman. End quote. What? You said that with your whole chest on national TV in a non-ironic way. Like, you meant that.
That's not even a good trans joke. Okay. Wow. Y'all are really not. I know there are people on the right that have, like, decent sense of humor. Y'all gotta stop hiding them in the basement, though, because, I don't know, it's just like, every time they try to make a crack, every time someone on the right tries to make a crack, especially when it deals with what they call identity politics, or with people's identity, how they choose to identify, or how they present, or their race, or whatever, however you want to say, like, every time they try to make a crack, it's just like, why? what was the point? But yeah, it's like, it's one of those, like, well, I can't tell you to don't quit your day job. I actually would want you to quit your day job, Jesse.
I mean, it's Fox News.
It's so Fox.
There's that.
Yeah.
But also, it says a lot when the co-hosts, who are women, got to look at you sideways. And, like, they're also on Fox News, but they're looking at you sideways for making an outlandish statement. It was just so like, oh my gosh, really? And you said that so boldly, so loudly, so wrong.
And you said he said that unironically? So he wasn't trying to make a joke there? Because I thought that was just a horrible attempt at, like, his brand of transition jokes.
No, so it was just because he was going on about how he doesn't understand why any man would vote for a Democrat. That it's not, what's the quote at? It's not a party of virtue or security. It's not a party of strength. It's not a party of family. And to be a man and then vote for a woman just because she's a woman is either childish, that person has mommy issues, or they're trying to be accepted by other women.
And
like, yeah.
Of the cycle, I mean, it's fairly short since Kamala, it's been a fairly short cycle since Kamala is now the at the top of the ticket. But I was like, I haven't heard anybody say they voted for her just because she's a woman. I'm not gonna hold you. Like, we did get that with Hillary. I did hear that with Hillary. I didn't really hear that. I didn't really hear that with, like, oh, it's a woman, we gotta vote for her. I haven't really heard that. I could be wrong. Like, people probably still are doing that, but I was like, I haven't heard that, really. Can't say I've heard it.
Exactly. And this is all stems from, because they were talking about the white dudes for Harris.
Yeah.
And so there was, that's where that stemmed from. So it was just like, but he really?
Yeah, he said with his whole chest.
Like, and he, like, again, he wasn't saying this ironically. He was dead serious when he was saying this. It wasn't with like a chuckle. He was saying this. I have to, where's the clip? Where's, I have a clip for you. But yeah, he was a mess. He was a whole mess. A whole mess.
Am I surprised? Not really.
Yeah, it's just, like I said, I'm so over the election.
Well,
it just started.
You got, three more months. You got 89 days.
We got so much longer. But yeah, that was my just don't care. Jesse Waters, whatever his last name is, from Fox News, being childish himself.
Am I surprised? No, but Jesus. Talk about flailing. So it's just punditry on the right in general that's flailing. Good to know. Okay. And then moving right along to weekly roundup. So we got at least two. So I would be remiss if I didn't mention that there is another strike going on with the SAG-AFTRA. This time it's video game voice actors who are or video game workers. Who have gone on strike for the same reason, anti-AI, don't want to be replaced by AI, and want protections. So, valid reasons. They encourage creators to talk about the strike and what they are fighting for, or invite striking members to be a part of your content or stream. Also, as a note, we as creators are not, what was the phrase? What was the phrase? When there's the whole thing about, like, essentially taking work or doing the forbidden content last year. Struck work. There we go.
Yes.
Yeah. So as creators, it's not struck work if we continue to stream certain companies. Like, I'm just going to use Disney because Disney is one of the companies. And also I play Kingdom Hearts. So me as a creator, it's not struck work for me to continue streaming Kingdom Hearts just because it's a part of Disney, or because it's a part of Disney. It's actually not a, it's not, not struck work. They actually outlined that in the guidelines this time around, that creators can still stream what they want to stream. Just be sure to, you know, highlight it when you can and talk about it. And if you have the resources, invite a striking member. I don't have the resources for that, I don't think. I mean, if y'all see me with Haley Joel Osment, you know, if y'all see me with Haley Joel Osment, I've made it in the world, really. But, but yeah, just as a FYI, it has taken place and it's still going on. To my knowledge, I mean, my timeline has been very much on, like, very little outside of the election, so I might miss it, but to my knowledge, it's still ongoing. I didn't see anything in general news that said it was over, so yeah, strike is still ongoing, so be sure to support video game workers in that. And then, secondly, conversation about IUDs and how painful they are. So health officials urge doctors to finally address IUD. Finally address IUD insertion pain. So, not to get like TMI or whatever, but I do not do IUDs. I actually do pills because they have worked. And like, it's not hard for me to keep track of them because I just take it, before I go to sleep. So, I mean, it's just very much like it fits into my schedule. It's not a hard thing for me. I haven't had any adverse reactions. So I've just, that's just what I've been on. and after hearing horror stories of people who did go through the IUD process, and I was like, and I will never get one. I refuse. I pill me up. Or take it out. Those are your choices. But yeah, as videos describing the procedure is agonizing, spread on social media and have been spreading over the years. New guidelines advise physicians to consider various anesthetics. Doctors have been accused of ignoring the discomfort. For the first time, federal health officials recommend on Tuesday that physicians counsel women about pain management before the procedure. This updated guidance from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention may lead clinicians to take the pain more seriously and to consider using anesthetics more often, according to experts. Now, see what happens when you got a certain party in the office, as opposed to the other one who got a whole 900-page mandate with part of it talking. Anyway, but outside of that, yeah, your thoughts, Jade, because I think you're a little bit closer to this than I am.
Yes, because TMI moment, I have an IUD, and that bitch hurt. It hurts so much. Oh my God, I wanted to kick her in the face that first initial pinch, because they don't tell. First of all, they get all up in you, and it's not comfortable, and it's not like a pap smear where they just kind of, they put the speculum
yeah,
inside of you and all that and look in you. No, 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 no. They use a tool that pierces your cervix to pull it down. Yeah, it pierces it. So instead of like just a regular forceps, it has like a needle on it and it pulls it down. So yeah, that way they can actually insert the thing, the IUD in, and get it in place. So they'd be like, it's a little pinch. No, it's not. I shed a single, you know how painful it has to be for you to shed a single tear, just a single one. Like, yeah.
The only time I shed a single tear was when I got my nose pierced and I knew it was going to hurt because that's a nerve there.
Yes.
And then I had to get a re-pierced. Like, yeah, like, yeah, that's, yeah.
Like that one that just rolls down. Yes. You'd be like, it's not enough to, like, you'd be like, I want to cry, but oh my God, I can only muster up this one tear. Like, it hurts so bad. And then afterwards, the cramping, because it induces cramping.
What the and hell?
Yes, because your cervix are used to stuff coming out, not going in. So that's how my doctor explained it to me. So now you have a foreign object stuck up in there. And oh my God. And it's like, it's not like a cramps for a couple of hours. Like, no, it can last days. And mine lasted a couple of days to where it just hurt. It's like, it's the worst pain that I have felt. And I don't, it made me be like, I never want to have a child because this is only a taste of what your body goes through. And I was like, I thought my period was bad. No, that was worse. And I'm like, I'm so glad they last a couple years.
Yeah.
Because for people like me who hates taking pills and forgets to take pills. So I was terrible on my birth control and I don't want no babies. So it was just like, I don't have to think about it for a couple years. Just put it in there. But the pain that associated with it, I'm so terrified when I have to get taken out. Because then I'm just like, I'm hoping that like when they take it out, they can just stick another one up in there at the same time. I don't want to have to come back, because if I do, that's going to be tragic. And I'm like, y'all have to find something else for me to get on, because I can't do this.
Can you not take happy smokes or something beforehand? Or
so some doctors are nice and they prescribe that. They prescribe something for you.
Okay.
Or tell you to take it. Mine was like, oh, take some aspirin. Take some Tylenol. And like that shit did not help. It's like, this was not a normal, ow, my head is hurting pain. It hurt so much. And then the fact that she wrote on my medical records, tolerated pain well. No, I did not. I was like, lies. I was like, it's because they don't listen to you for how much it hurts. They don't listen. That's all I can say. They don't. Because I read my medical records. I did not tolerate that pain well. I held it in. But I was like, I literally wanted to kick that lady. Like, I felt that first pinch and my leg locked up. And I was just like, oh my, like, if I hadn't have been in stirrups, my leg probably would have just bam, as like a natural reaction. I was like, it hurt so much. I don't know how else to describe it. And then some people are like, it doesn't hurt. And then other people, like my sister, at first she told me her first one didn't hurt. But then she figured out, her doctors were like, oh, it's because you just had a baby. So it wasn't too far after. So apparently, like, that might be a thing, where if you get it not too far after having a baby, too long after, then, like, it might not be as, the pain is not as bad. But when she got one recently, and she called me, she was like, I'm so sorry. I was like, what are you talking about? She's just like, that hurt so much.
Yeah.
You weren't lying. And I was like, I told you I wasn't lying. Like, it hurts. People, medical professionals do not listen to women, and they especially don't listen to Black women, but they don't listen to women. And I'm glad they're finally listening, because that little tiny thing saves you so much effort, but it's so put you through so much pain. And it's so ridiculous. Like, you just want to curl up in a ball and go to sleep, because that's all you can do is ride it out.
Oh my gosh.
If you can avoid getting one, I would not advertise getting it. If like people are good on pills and they're like, or like whatever methods, and they're good on how they're taking it, I would never recommend an IUD. I would strictly recommend it for people who like really need it,
yeah,
or who forget to take pills or and not consistent. But otherwise, no. If you've been like, I'm thinking about getting one, I'd be like, no, you're good.
It was kind of funny because my doctor, when we were trying to figure out a treatment plan for my migraines, like, what would work best? And she was like, well, we know it's hormonal. So, like, the only other thing, like, basically, if the medicine that I'm currently on didn't work out or they rejected it, she was like, IUD. And I looked at her, I was like, no. And she was like, I mean, I know, but, like, So we just want to pray that medicine works, and thankfully the medicine works for my migraines. So, Jesus.
And don't wait. And don't let you find out that the regular IUDs don't work, so you have to get the copper.
Oh, geez.
Oh, like, so, like, and that's the whole thing. You'd be like, dang, the hormones aren't working, so I need a copper one. It's like, it's so ridiculous, but it's in there. I was like, my doctor's talking about, you can look yourself to make sure it's still in place. No, I'll go to get a pap smear every year because my, my thing pays for it, even though I don't need it every year, but I'm like, my insurance pays for it, so I'm getting it. And y'all can check to make sure it's in place. Thank you. Until it's time for it to take it out. And when it's time to take it out, y'all better give me a happy pill because that pain, I'm going to tell them, like, it was unbearable and I hated it. And it gives me so much anxiety thinking about in a couple years having to get it taken out, that whole process. Ugh. Like, oh my God, if I could show, it's the whole process of it. It's, they have to put the thing in you to measure to make sure the depth is right. To cut it in. And then it's in the forceps, and it's just so bad. It's so bad. It's so painful. I hate being a woman sometimes. The things you go through.
The things you gotta do to not only make sure you don't have kids when you're not ready, but also regulate your hormones. Yeah, it's just like, but nope, not doing it. I refuse.
Like, I don't. 10 out of 10, don't recommend it.
Yeah.
10 out of 10, don't recommend.
Sheesh. So.
Like, think about it. It's like getting your nose pierced, but down there, but not in the pleasure centers down there, like, in your cervix.
Yeah, no. It's like, I realized I did this to myself with my nose piercing. I mean, if I did get an IUD, I was like, well, I'll be doing it to myself there. But, like, no, I made the conscious choice of, like, no, I know this is going to hurt. I only got to do it once. That's the thing. You only got to do it once unless my nose ring falls out again. If it falls out again this time, just, like, it's not meant for me. But, but yeah, it's like, see, with piercings, it's like, you only gotta do it once, and you just gotta keep some jewelry in to make sure the cartilage doesn't close up, and that's it. But you gotta, like, you know, go through that process, like, years on, like, after a certain amount of years as a routine. No, I'm good. Like I said, peel me up.
Like, I'm sure, I'm sending you privately a picture of what they use. of what they look like.
What did you do? Put it in whispers?
I'm about to just text it to you.
Oh.
Because they're called tenaculum. I'm about to send it to you. So this is what they use to hold your cervix down, to get it in place. They pinch it, and it stays there until they're done.
Used for my nose hairs. Not really, but...
Yeah. It's like two needle ends on it.
Yeah.
So it just... It pierces. Yeah. Look, Spoon, I went through some pain. It was the worst. I took the rest of the day off of work after that. I was supposed to go back to work, and I did not. I was like, I was traumatized. I could not work the rest of the day.
I feel like I can't remember if you told us that you were going back to work or something beforehand, or had mentioned it offhand. I feel like I remember you mentioning that. I was thinking to myself, probably gonna take the whole day off. I feel like you're gonna have to take the whole day.
I was on the car ride home. I drove myself, so then I was sitting in the car for 20 minutes, and I was just like, "Oh my gosh,
oh that Jesus,
so bad!" And then I had to get gas, and then the cramps started, and I just had to get home. And I was just like, "I just need to be in a bed. I need to lay down. I can't function."
Isn't that done with my commute? No, I wouldn't even be able to go to work the next day. No, no. Pills until I can't. Yes.
I don't need anxiety pills. I have that. I was like, no, I need a pain pill. Something that just.
No, at that point, I just need something to put me to sleep.
Partially sedate me. Give me some laughing gas, something.
Well, good on the federal government for finally putting some guidance to tell the doctors to be like, anesthetics, you know, local anesthetics, something.
Because they always think about women's bodies last. They think about the body last.
They really do. I'm waiting for them to come out with some guidance on, like, birth. I don't know when that's going to happen. Guide women to through the birthing process a bit more safely, so you know the risk of hemorrhaging is lower.
I should stop putting people on their backs to give birth, for one.
Exactly, but they're not gonna do that.
I was like, that's not the natural position that you're supposed to be in.
Or if you're gonna put, them on their backs, that basically means like, oh, so you're doing C-sections, because that it should be the only reason at that point.
Yes, and most people don't know that. And I was like, when I had to learn that, I was like, it's better to squat it out.
Yeah,
because that's your natural position. Your birth canal is meant to be. It aligns everything perfectly. On your back, it does not.
Yep, all fours are squatted out and walk around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why people, when they'd be like, I didn't know I was pregnant, and they had the baby just sitting on the toilet. It's like, yeah, because your body was just like, whoop, whoop.
Yep.
Like, it was in the natural position. So, yeah.
But anything else for the weekly? Now that we've... Well, that you more so share more stories about IUDs, because like I said, I was like, I've seen and heard enough to be like, no, not for me. I'm a wimp.
Yeah, no. Definitely, if you're thinking of getting one, do a lot of research. Mine was a last resort thing. So it was years of fighting it, and I didn't want it, and I finally was like, okay, I had a black doctor, and she was saying a lot of things that made a lot of sense, and I was like, okay. But I was like, again, unless you truly need it, I would not recommend it. 10 out of 10. Don't recommend. For pain alone, unless they figure out a way to isolate that, and hopefully that they do. Hoping. Because, yeah.
Yeah. All right. If nothing else, gonna stop here. So appreciate y'all coming out to another episode of the Embassy Talks podcast. I'm checking the dates. I was like, I think we'll be back next week. Yeah, okay.
As far as I know.
All right. I'm gonna try not to cancel. all right. So yeah, should be back next week. As always, we'll let you know in Discord. But gonna cut it here. I will be back online, dual streaming, Twitch and YouTube on the gaming side tomorrow. Probably not gonna really cover D23, honestly. Because, yeah, I'm not really expecting much, but also the showcases are gonna be super late that I'll be interested in anyway, so, like, no. I want my sleep good this weekend. But yeah, but like I said, I'll be back live tomorrow, on the gaming side, and Saturday as well. But I'm gonna end it here. Since I'll see you tomorrow, since I'll see y'all tomorrow, I'll be selfish and not read out right now. But yeah. We'll see y'all later. Stay safe, stay healthy, take care of yourselves, and we will see y'all around. Bye.